20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope you all had a very wonderful and enjoyable weekend. Hope your Monday is off to a great start, and I always appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Of course, we've got you covered 365 days a year, so if ever you are craving anything and all things Green Bay Packers, make sure to check us out. Of course, like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews as well. It was an interesting weekend in Wisconsin sports. The Buck season is mercifully done. Maybe Giannis has played his last game as a Buck. Of course, not recently. The Brewers have lost five in a row. Christian Yelich is hurt, as is the rest of the team, basically. Chris McIntosh is out in Wisconsin, which is a huge deal. Doc Rivers is out. He's gone, thank goodness. Badgers hockey lost in the championship. A lot of stuff going on in Wisconsin sports, but not actually much from a Packers standpoint, other than, again, we're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, which is a very, very fun time of year. It's a time where we start picking our favorite players that we're hoping that Green Bay gets. And then, of course, being disappointed on, hopefully not, but you know what I mean, on draft day, and then sort of breaking down all the presents that Brian Gutekunst decided to get us, whether we wanted them or not. Sometimes they're better than others, but hopefully this year we get a great batch of presents and can break them down in a very excited way following this year's NFL draft. I also have been reflecting a little bit just on a year ago of just how incredibly cool it was that draft was in Green Bay, and just thinking back of being around that area and how they were building it up. And it was such a cool moment in Green Bay history, not Packers history, in the city of Green Bay and Wisconsin history to host the draft. And then of course the Packers and the NFL did such an incredible job. And we had the Matthew Golden moment, the Baron Sorrell moment, just a surreal sort of experience. And kudos again to Green Bay for doing such a great job. And I'm excited to see what they do in Pittsburgh this year. And again, the whole extravaganza that is the NFL draft should be a ton of fun. And again, we are closing in next Thursday, day one of the NFL draft. Because we are inching closer to the NFL draft, this is today one of my favorite episodes that I get to do leading up until draft time. Today, I'm going to look at trades that can potentially go down for Green Bay. I take a historical look at actual trades that have happened around picks 52, 84, 120. So we can kind of get an idea of what Brian Gutekunst may or may not be able to do by moving up, by moving back, and just some of the things that have actually transpired. We're going to go through some of the trade value chart trades as well, and some fun things that could potentially happen there, and just give you an idea of where that value would potentially be. But the trade value chart only gives you so much, right? I love looking at actual trades that have taken place around those picks to give you an idea of if they can get up, how far they can get up, how far they can get back, and some things like that as well. So we're going to take a full historic look at this. Now, if you're looking at potential candidates of why Green Bay would trade up, that is an episode I did, I want to say 4 or 5 days ago-ish. So you can find that, and we sort of detailed what players the Packers might be targeting early in the draft that they might want to move up for. So you can check out that. That's an entirely different episode. We did go through a couple of these potential type trades in that episode as well, but check that out. And then again, today we're going to be looking at it from a more historical standpoint of what trades could potentially be made based on what's happened in the past. Of course, Green Bay has a little bit more ammunition now because they have that additional fifth round pick from the Dontavian Wicks trade. Again, that is actually their fourth best pick in this draft, that fifth round pick. So 153 overall, about seven picks ahead of their 160th pick that they already owned in the fifth round. So again, it gives them a little bit more ammunition if they want to move up, or maybe again, maneuver around the draft, which we know Goody likes to do. He'll move up, he'll move back, he'll stay put. It's a mystery bag, it's a grab bag. It is a little bit more fun, just honestly and transparently, when you have a GM that is willing to move around. If the right player is there, he'll move up. Jaire Alexander, I guess Jaire was a move down, then a move up, but Darnell Savage he moved up for, Evan Williams he moved up for, there's been others as well, but he's also moved down. The Jaire Alexander initial trade was a move down in the first round to pick up a future first round pick, and then he moved up to get Jair Alexander. So it is a little bit more fun come draft time when you have a GM that's willing to make those type of moves, because anything can sort of happen at any given time. So again, another reason to look forward to not this Thursday, but the following Thursday for, I guess, probably not that for Goody for day one of the draft. It's not impossible, which we'll go over today, but more likely that Friday for Green Bay's first pick. I do expect this, as I talked about in our trade episode a few days ago, I do expect this to be more of a buyer's market for teams that are looking to move up. It has been covered ad nauseum. This is not the strongest draft in the world. I don't think it's a weak draft. I do want to say that up front. I do not think that this is a weak draft. I just don't think it's a stronger draft. And next year is supposed to be a stronger draft. And I do think that if you do have teams that want to move up, first round, second round especially, I do think teams are going to be willing to trade back. The strength of this draft is more in that like 25 to, I would say, like 125 range, where you're going to get a lot of quality players that have upside to be starters. And the difference, again, between 25 and 125 may not ultimately be that great. So teams are going to be more willing to move down and pick up extra capital to maybe get two or three of those guys rather than just picking one a little bit earlier. Because of that, I don't think teams are going to be as aggressive in trading up, which means that if teams do want to move down, they may have to take, you know, not pennies on the dollar, but less on the dollar than they normally would. Because again, I do expect this to be a buyer's market. Most teams looking to trade down, not a lot of teams looking to trade up. That could be beneficial for Brian Gutekunst if, you know, one of those players that he wants to target, maybe a Chris Johnson or a Christian Miller, someone like that, is available and he wants to move up, he might have more opportunity to do that in this particular draft. So again, could be very fun come early day two to see if Goody is willing to sort of bite the bullet and make that type of deal to get one of the players that he really, really wants, especially considering he doesn't have that first round pick and he might still be able to get a player that probably doesn't have a first round grade, but probably has a early second round grade at maybe a position of need like corner or defensive tackle. Again, there does seem like there could be a couple of those players available early in round two to potentially move up for. The other thing I'll add here is I expect a very large value on 2027 draft picks. What I mean there is if you have in a normal year, the opportunity to maybe take a third round pick and turn it into like a second round pick next year, or an early second round pick and turn it into a first round pick next year, things like that, I don't think we're going to see much of that. I think teams are going to very much value their 2027 draft picks because next year's draft is supposed to be very strong and very deep. And this year's draft is, again, I don't think it's weak overall, like I said, but a little bit weaker than normal. So I don't think teams are going to value giving up picks from a better future draft for a worse draft in the here and now. Could be wrong. There's always going to be some team that loves a player and falls in love and can't pass up on it. But for the most part, I think you're going to see not a lot of draft picks traded from next year. But that's another opportunity for Goody because he has a stockpile of, you know, second, third, fourth-ish round picks next year that he could potentially move up if he wanted to or utilize from next year to maybe get a player in the here and the now. All right. All of that said, if you are forgetting at home, remember that the Packers, these are the picks that they currently have in this year's draft. Pick 52, pick 84, pick 120, 153, 160, 201, 236, and 255. That is a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and two sevenths. And the last thing I'll add before we go over some potential trades, it's worth reminding and just remembering that it always takes two to tango. This isn't Madden, you know, where you can force trades in certain situations or things like that. The other party has to say yes. They have to be willing to make the deal too. So we're going to, again, look at some historical trades that have actually really taken place. But you could offer a team that exact trade and say, hey, look, this has happened before. The other team's got to still want to be able to do that. And in this draft, again, particularly, it's going to be really interesting because I think the values might be a little bit more all over the place. I think it might be easier to move up and potentially harder to move down. Let's look at the trade value chart. The trade value chart I use is the Rich Hill trade value chart. If you want to use another one, you go ahead, go for it. You could probably put some trades together, but I'm using the Rich Hill trade value chart. Here were some trades that I came up with just based on pure value. All right. If you were looking at what Green Bay's picks are worth, this is what they theoretically could move up to get. And again, if you're buying, if you're trying to move up, I think you could even be better this draft. So per the Rich Hill chart, if they wanted to trade their second and third round picks, all right, pick 52 and 84, it should get them in that pick 37, 38 range. Again, in this draft, maybe 35, 36, but usually in that pick 37 to 38 range. So not quite to the end of round one, but starting at the beginning of round two, if you wanted to take both of your top two picks and move it up, you probably could get pretty early in the second round. Again, maybe to take a Chris Johnson, a Christian Miller, a Lee Hunter, any of those type of players that they, whoever it might be that they fall in love with, that would be the value that they would potentially be looking at there if they wanted to pair their second and third round picks. If they paired their second, third, and fourth round picks, it is exactly pick 32. So let's say end of round one comes along and they have a first round grade on a player and they don't want to wait around until round two and it's pick 32. Maybe they're even interested in making sure that they get that fifth year option on a player, right? That could be something else that matters here. The exact value of picks, of their second, third, and fourth round picks is pick 32, the very last pick in the first round. I don't know. I don't even think any of the defensive tackles, maybe Cade McDonald could be somebody that they have a lot of interest in at that spot to fill that nose tackle position. Maybe a Chris Johnson. Those could be possibilities at that spot, but it would take a lot. And I mean a lot to give up their, because now you don't have a second, a third, a fourth, and now you have those two fifth round picks. But if you're looking to fill corner, defensive tackle, maybe some offensive line depth, edge rusher, you can get one of them at pick 32, but now your next picks are in the fifth round. You have nothing. And so we'd be sitting a while from pick 32 to pick 153. 120 picks are going to take place between those two. So that is a really tough sell. But if they really, really fell in love with somebody again, that is ideal, or like equal to what they should be able to get by giving up their second, third, and fourth round picks. If they were to give up their pick 52, their second round pick, and their fourth round pick 120, that would get you to about pick 44 to pick 45. Pick 52, pick 120, and pick 160, their second, their fourth, and their second of their fifth round picks, that gets you to about pick 42. So moving up about 10 spots. That's an interesting one, right? Because you still in that scenario, keep your third round pick, still have a fifth round pick, but you give up a fourth and another fifth to move up 10 spots. Again, maybe a Christian Miller, Chris Johnson, that could be worth it, where you still have the ability to address a couple positions in this draft, but can get up there somewhere near that pick 42 range. We'll be right back. Here's a fun one. Pick 52 plus their final seventh round pick, pick 236, is equal to pick 76 and 85, which the Steelers own both of those picks. So this is an interesting, you give up a throwaway bottom of the seventh round pick. That one doesn't even matter, basically, here. And your second round pick, and you get two third round picks, pick 76 and 85. So you're moving down about 24 spots from the second round to the third, but you get pick 85, a legitimate third round pick by doing so. You give away a throwaway seventh round pick. There's nothing to that. That's a fun one. Again, if you're looking at, hey, we want to make sure that we get a defensive tackle, a corner, an offensive lineman, an edge rusher. All right, well, now you've got an additional, third round pick to play with. So now you would have, you wouldn't have your second, but you'd have three third round picks in that scenario, plus your fourth round pick, two fifths, et cetera, that would give you a few more options with those three thirds and a fourth to address four different positions if you wanted to. So that's an interesting one. Again, 76 and 85 for pick 52 and 236. Another one to look at, if they gave up pick 52 plus both of their fifth round picks, the one that they just got for Wicks and then their own fifth round pick, that gets you to about pick 45 or 46. So they could move up about six or seven spots by giving up their two fifth round picks. That's another interesting one where you're able to hold on to your third and fourth round picks in that scenario. So you still have second, third, and fourth round picks. You can still address those, but still move up a few picks from the second round to maybe get a player that you really, really like, especially if there were a run on those nose tackles if McDonald is gone, and maybe, you know, Lee Hunter is gone, and maybe, you know, Caleb Banks is gone, and all of a sudden Christian Miller is the only one left. All right, maybe moving up those seven spots is worth it by giving up those two fifth round picks. So those are some of the ones at pick 52 that could be interesting. At pick 84, pick 84 plus pick 120 would get you to about pick 67. Pick 84 plus 120 plus 153, so their third, their fourth, and their one of their fifths, gets you to pick 61. So that's the end of round two. So that could be interesting if they wanted to get back up into round two. Again, their third, their fourth, and one of their fifths would get you there. Another interesting one is pick 84, their third round pick, could theoretically get you three fourth round picks. The San Francisco 49ers have picks 133, 138, and 139. Those three picks are worth exactly pick 84. So if Green Bay wanted to move down and talk to San Francisco, and San Francisco really likes somebody at pick 84, theoretically you could take your one third and change it into three fourth round picks. So that would give you a second and then four fourth rounders, two fifth rounders to maybe again address some of those positions. And fourth and fifth round picks have been pretty good for Brian Gutekunst. That would be a very interesting one as well. Pick 120 plus 153, so their fourth and their first fifth round pick, gets you to pick 100. Which is the very last pick of the third round. It's a comp pick, but the very last pick of the third round. Pick 100, again, 120 plus 153 for that. 120 plus 153 plus 160. So your fourth and both of your fifths get you to pick 90, a pretty sound pick in round three if you wanted to do that. And then last but not least, if you were looking to take both of those fifth round picks, the fifth that you already had plus your Dontavian Wicks fifth round pick, that would get you to about pick 125. In the fourth round. Again, those are all per the Rich Hill trade value chart. Again, it takes two to tango. You can't just force those trades, but that would be some of the fun trades that would be available just based on the actual math of the Rich Hill trade value chart. And again, some teams like the 49ers that have those three fourth round picks and what it would work out to and things like that. Now, to me, a little bit more of the fun part, actual trades that have happened for pick 52. I went back to 2010 and looked at trades that have happened around pick 52 all the way back to 2010. For pick 84 and pick 120, I just went back to 2015. I didn't look at any of the other picks, but here are some historical trades that have happened at pick 52. The first one, and this took place in 2024, or in the 2024 draft. Pick 52, pick 142, and pick 55 to get up to pick 46. And so that is, the Packers having pick 52, they have pick 160, and then they'd probably have to supplement it with a future draft pick if they wanted to kind of take care of that sort of 142 marker. So probably about a fourth or fifth round pick next year as well. In this draft, maybe a fifth round pick, but that would potentially get you up about six spots to pick 46. We talked about this one on the draft trade episode a few days ago. Just in 2025, last year, the Seahawks traded pick 52 and pick 82 for pick 35. So that, again, is basically Green Bay's second and third round picks. Green Bay owns pick 52 and pick 84. That should get you in that 35 range. Again, in this draft, maybe that gets you to 34, 33, 32, maybe even 31. But Green Bay should be able to get pretty early in round two based on that trade if they wanted to give up their second and third round picks. Going back to 2019, there was pick 52, 125, and 182 for pick 42. So 125 and 182 to move up 10 spots. Green Bay has pick 120 and 201. That's probably very similar value. So again, to get up about 10 spots there, giving up their fourth round pick and then their sixth round pick to get up to to pick 42 in that scenario, that would be right around the same value, I should say. In 2018, you had pick 52 and pick 169 for pick 49. The Packers have 52 and 160. So that could, again, their late fifth round pick could get you up about three spots with that historical trade. Here's a fun one. In 2018, 52 and 78 went for 46 and 100. The Jets in this scenario this year have picks 44 and 103. All right, 44 and 103. Green Bay has picks 52 and 84. That's pretty darn close. So if Green Bay gave up pick 52 and their third round pick, all right, their third round pick, pick 84, and their second round pick, they could get up about eight spots to pick 44 and then pick up a fourth round pick, pick 103. So they move down 19 spots from the third to the fourth, but they move up eight spots to get earlier in the second round and get that pick 44. That could be a fun one with the New York Jets. Another one in 2018, pick 56 for pick 63 and 117. The Packers have pick 52. The Jaguars have pick 56. So again, moving about four spots down. The Jaguars also have pick 124. So moving four spots down and picking up a fifth round pick, I believe that is, in that scenario, that could be an option with Jacksonville. In 2016, it was pick 56 and 124 for pick 49. Green Bay has pick 52 and 120, so that should get you above pick 49 based on that trade. And again, this sort of draft that we are getting set for. Pick 59 for 74 and 106 in 2016. In this scenario, Green Bay has pick 52. The Browns have pick 70 and 107. Green Bay should even be able to get a little bit more from Cleveland in that scenario. Another really fun one here is the Philadelphia Eagles. Green Bay would give pick 52. The Eagles have pick 68 and 98. This is a very similar trade to, again, one that took place in 2016. Green Bay moves down 16 spots to pick 68 from round two to, I think that's early round three, but pick up a full another third round pick. So they get two third round picks instead of pick 52. That could be an interesting trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. And we know Howie Roseman is one to wheel and deal, and could certainly, we just saw it with Dontavian Wicks, and that trade could easily see Goody and Howie Roseman picking up where they left off and making another trade there. In 2014, you had pick 54 and 122 for pick 42. So moving up about 12 spots by giving up pick 122. In this draft, the Packers again have pick 52 and 120. That could maybe get them in that 40, 41, 42 range by giving up their fourth round pick in that scenario. Here is one that's really interesting. I want to know if you would do it or not. All right. In 2013, I think it was actually the Minnesota Vikings who did this. They took pick 52, the exact pick that the Packers own, pick 83, Green Bay owns pick 84 right now, pick 102, Green Bay owns 120, so that's a little bit worse, and 229, Green Bay would own, you know, 201 in this scenario, and they got all the way up to pick 29. All right. So that is their second, their third, their fourth, and their sixth. Second, third, fourth, and sixth to move up to pick 29 in the draft. I ask you this, would you do it? Give up a huge chunk of your draft. You've basically, again, got in this scenario, what? Pick 29, two fifths, two sevenths. That's all you have left. Pick 29, two fifths, two sevenths. But you move up aggressively to pick 29, get a first round pick. Who would you do it? And who would be the player that you would like, that would have to be there in order for you to consider that trade? I'm interested in that one. That's a tough one for me. I probably don't in this particular draft. I'm trying to think who would have to be there. I don't think there's a defensive tackle that's worth moving up for in that situation. I actually don't think there's a corner. That's way too aggressive for Chris Johnson. Even if Hood fell that far, you know, the two, McCoy and Delane, aren't going to fall that far. And if they did, again, there's probably a reason for it. Is there an edge rusher? I don't think the Parker, Falk, you know, the Howell sort of group is worth it for me. I would find it really, really difficult. Like if Concepcion at receiver was still there, Caden Proctor, I would be interested in. I know a lot of people don't like Proctor. I do. Miller, the offensive tackle, Blake Miller would be one that I'd be interested in. I don't know that I'm willing to give up that much capital. I'm going to say no on this one, but it's an interesting discussion to say the least. We'll be right back. All right, next one. Pick 51 for pick 59 and 123. Again, the Packers own pick 52. The Patriots have 63 and 125. That could be a possibility. The 49ers have pick 58 and 127. That could be another possibility there. And then the last one for pick 52 was back in 2010. There was pick 51 for pick 62 and 93. This is, again, a really fun one. Green Bay with the Patriots would only move back 11 spots here, 52 to 63, but pick up pick 95. So they would get a third round pick for just moving down 11 spots from 52 to 63. The Patriots would have to be the ones, again, holding pick 63 and 95 in order to pay off that deal. But that would be a very, very sweet deal for Green Bay. Now let's move to pick 84. All right. Last year in 2025, pick 85, all right, went for pick 95 and a 2026 fourth round pick. I would very much listen to that. You move down 10 spots in round three and pick up a fourth round pick next year in a better draft. Absolutely. I would absolutely move down that third round pick to get a future fourth round pick. Sign me up for that. In 2024, pick 86 for pick 94 and 132. A similar trade here. Again, Green Bay has 84. The Patriots and the Packers might do a lot of talking based on some of the similar picks. 49ers, Eagles, some other ones. But pick 84 for pick 95 and 131. That is a very similar trade. And there were extremely similar trades that took place in 2021 and in 2017. So this is a very, very popular type of trade. I'll say it one more time. Again, the Packers trading pick 84 to the Patriots for pick 95 and 131. That would be very fair value based on multiple trades that have happened in the last 15 years or so. In 2023, there was pick 83 for 108 and a future third round pick. So moving down about 25 spots with your third round pick here, and you pick up a future third, that's a glorious one. That'd be a no-brainer for me. Again, you move down to round four. It's maybe not ideal, again, trying to get a player of value here in round three, but to just move down to round four, where Goody's arguably been as good, if not better, in round four than he has been in round three, and you pick up a future third round pick in the process, sure, I would absolutely do that. That was a trade, again, that took place in 2023. In 2022, you had pick 86 for pick 90 and 169. The Jaguars are holding very similar picks. Again, Green Bay here would trade pick 84 to the Jaguars for pick 88 and 166. That could be a possibility. In 2018, you had pick 86 and 122 to move up to 175. Green Bay has pick 84 and 120. So that should get you right around, maybe even a little bit ahead of that pick 75 if they wanted to move up in round three. In 2017, whatever team that this was traded pick 83 and 124 for 72 and 200. A very similar trade here would be with the Cincinnati Bengals. Green Bay gives up 84 and 120, all right, their third and fourth round picks, to the Bengals for pick 72 and 199. So they move up about 12 spots in round three and they swap out pick 120 for 199. It's moving down quite a bit from round four to round six, but they do move up 12 spots in round three. I'd probably say no to that one. In 2016, you had 86. This is a really interesting one as well. Pick 86 for pick 186. You're moving down 100 spots from round three to round six, but you get a third and a fourth round pick in 2027 for your troubles. Again, moving down 100 spots is a tough pill to swallow. And now your top two picks in this draft are a second rounder and a fourth rounder. But talk about having a ton of draft capital next year, picking up a third and a fourth, plus you get a sixth this year. That's tough to pass up, especially with a much stronger draft in 2027. If you could get that, I think you'd have to consider that. All right, last but not least, I've got about six trades here for pick 120, and then we'll get out of here. In 2024, you had a couple trades here. Pick 120 for a future third round pick. I would probably do that. I would trade pick 120, the fourth round pick this year, to get a third round pick next year. You're paying a tax, right? Because you want the player here and now, and Green Bay could use a player here and now, but I'll take the third round pick, the higher pick, in a better draft. In 2024, you also had picks 123 for pick 127 in a future fifth. So Green Bay moves down seven spots and picks up a fifth round pick next year. In this case, it was just four spots. So maybe they could get to 124, 125 and pick up a fifth round pick in 2027. That'd be great. In 2023, you had pick 119 for 134 and a future fifth. Okay. You move down 15 spots and pick up a fifth rounder. Not as good as your last one, the last deal that took place in 2024, but could still be a value. Here's one that took place in 2020. Pick 121 plus 172 for pick 109. Green Bay has pick 120 and 160, so it's even better. So that should get them to about 105, 106, somewhere in that range. In 2019, you had pick 120 and 204 for pick 114. Green Bay has 120 and 201. So that could get them up about six spots in this year's draft, again, if the team was willing to do so. And last but not least, in 2016, you had pick 120 for pick 152 plus a future fifth round pick. Again, not as good as some of those ones where you picked up a future fifth in 2023 or 2024. But if you're looking to move down in round four, picking up a future fifth, that has happened three times in the last 15 years. All right, friends, that's the deals I got for you. A lot of really interesting deals, opportunities to move up as far as the end of round one, depending on what they're willing to give up, opportunities to move down, pick up future picks. Those are all within the realm of possibility. If you are concerned that Goody, based at least historically, is not going to be able to get up to get a player that he wants, he should be able to. Yeah, I mean, he can't get to you theoretically could if you really wanted to mortgage a lot, but he's probably not going to get towards anything above, you know, pick 29. And even that would be ultra aggressive. I think you're probably looking at pick 35, pick 42 is as far up as you would probably go, if I had to guess. But there are opportunities based historically and based on the Rich Hill chart to get up to where he needs to still get a really good pick, stay put, move back, pick up some future capital, and really all throughout the draft. And again, this is expected to be a draft that has a lot of player movement. So let me know what you think. Are there any deals that piqued your fancy that you would want to do? Again, who are you trying to trade up for? Would love to hear from you guys in the comments. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to join me right here on the Packaday Podcast. We appreciate that a ton. Again, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Check out those Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships as well. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jason Merman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, the Gable Storm Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig John, Demetropolis, Devin Lane, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, Carl Delgado, Benjamin Sargent, and Jay Stanley. See you guys tomorrow. Actually, see you today for members Q&A, 3 p.m. Central Time on Monday. And I'll see you tomorrow back with Justice Mosqueda. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.